chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Here's a scene of great praise in heaven. Revelation 5 and verse 12. We read these words. There's this thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb." Let us just with our Bibles open pray. Father in heaven, we do return thee thanks for the work that has gone over these past couple of years, for the extension in the hall and the kitchen and the rooms at the rear, the benefit they've been. We thank thee now for this renovation at the front of the building. We praise thee for giving wisdom and help. And we pray, Lord, that thou would even bring in a great harvest of children and young people in coming days. Now, Lord, as we turn for a brief time to thy word, bless us through it, we pray. May glory and honour be brought to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. At this service, we want to just pause and mark the renovations to the frontage. We want as a good time to reflect on the past, to rejoice, to re-emphasize our beliefs, our practices, and to rededicate ourselves to the Lord's work and to the Lord and to the future of his testimony here. Now, as you enter through the doors at the front, it was agreed in the committee that we had put the burning bush on the two doors. Arden said there, and I preached on that at the opening of the halls. We're not going to do that again tonight. Burning, yet not consumed. Burning, yet not consumed, is to do with the burning bush Moses saw when he saw the glory of God and he realized the guilt of man. And he thanked God he saw the grace of Christ, for Christ was in that bush. Can't preach that again tonight, but it's a wonderful symbol of Presbyterianism, the burning bush. But as you come in, if you look up above the burning bush, there was a pane of glass, so we wondered, what will we do, a design or what? And the committee, the session committee, thought we should put a text. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Why that text? Well, for various reasons. Apparently, before I was here, in the early days of the portable hall, that was the text in those early days. And some of you remember those days. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And then in the prayer room when we came here, which of course was over here, in the prayer room, that text was hanging there. Worthy is the Lamb. We hope very soon to have the text on the wall in the hall. We wanted to wait a while for subsidence and that type of thing to make sure and so on. But it'll be on the wall very shortly. Again, we're putting that text, Revelation 5 and 12. Worthy is the Lamb. It was chosen for those historical reasons, but it was chosen for the great doctrinal reason. It's one of the great texts of Scripture. You see, worthy is the Lamb is the theme of the whole Scripture. Moses, in the first five books of the Bible, wrote about the Lamb. In fact, you could say the Old Testament is taken up with the subject, where is the Lamb? Remember, Abraham, his son Isaac, said, "Father, where is the Lamb? God will provide a Lamb." And the people in the Old Testament were wondering, when will the promised Lamb come? Of course, the New Testament, John the Baptist, John 1, verse 29 and verse 36. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so you have the Old Testament, where is the Lamb? The New Testament, here he is, he's come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the theme for all eternity will be, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Do you know, in the book of Revelation, 27 times you read about the Lamb. The Lamb. There are other scenes of worship in chapter 7. You have a great company standing before the Lamb, having their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. In chapter 15, there's another depiction of a great company of praise, and they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. It's symbolic of how the children of Israel, you remember, when they came out of Egypt, were delivered by the blood of the Passover Lamb, then by the power of God. They stood on the deliverance side, you could say, of the Red Sea, enemies destroyed, And now in heaven you have a great company of redeemed. So they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Number one, the person. The person who is the Lamb. I don't need to emphasize this. I'm sure we all agree tonight. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb. In verse 5, John was told by the elders that, behold, the Lion of Judah hath prevailed to open the seals of this book. Nobody could open the book, and John was concerned. Behold the Lion. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. His power, he's the conqueror. But when John turned, he didn't see a lion. He saw the Lamb. Now these are symbols. These are visions. They're types. It's talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it's saying is, when John looked round at our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came into this world and took a human body, human nature, he went to the cross and died. It's saying to us that John looked and he saw him as the Lamb. The Lamb, and notice it earlier, the Lamb that had been slain. That's interesting. The Lamb that had been slain. And actually, I looked it up just to check. I was right. I remembered some years ago looking at this, and it's true. I looked it up in the concordances, and it tells you the Greek and so on. Literally, there's different words used for lamb in Scripture. Do you know what it really is? It's a young lamb. It's a diminutive form of the word for lamb. This is just a young lamb. In other words, the emphasis on the tenderness. A young lamb. And it had been slain. Remember reading over in America, it was, of a young man who worked in a slaughterhouse, abattoir. Used to kill the animals. This was many years ago. They would just take the knife and cut their throat. Awful business. Some men, of course, have to work in those places and killed all kinds of animals. He'd never killed a lamb, but there was reason. There was a country abattoir, not a very big one, with many animals going through, and he was asked to kill a lamb. And he described, and I read the book where he talked about it, as a Christian, and he said, other animals, you had to go and almost catch them and drag them over because of the smell of death. But you know, that lamb came over to me as I held the knife and started to lick my hand. But I had to do my job and I had to take it and take the knife. Had to cut its throat. And the animal, it didn't just drop and whimper. Even while its life's blood was oozing away, it began to lick my hand. And the blood that was in my hand. But he said, it startled me. I froze. The tenderness of that lamb. And then I remembered what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was silent. The one who endured. And listen, Calvary was a horrible place. A gruesome place. Calvary had the stench of death about it. Those three men who were hung in those trees and other Jews were put to death. Their hands were pierced with nails. Christ had been scourged. Crown of thorns. It was a horrible place. A place of blood. And yet our Savior went willingly. Willingly. Didn't react when people mocked him. Oh, the tenderness of the Savior. The tenderness of the Savior. We cannot know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there, that the wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid, and by the shedding of his blood, the debt for us was paid. But not only was he a slain lamb, he was a standing lamb. It says he stood. He stood. He's alive. And thank God tonight we're here to worship a living Savior, and worthy is the Lamb. That text reminds us, yes, he was slain for our sins, but he rose again triumphantly, and today he's standing in the place of authority in heaven. Standing Lamb. Standing there. And he's the strong Lamb, for he's described in this chapter as having seven horns in verse 6. Now, of course, if it's a young lamb, naturally he wouldn't have any horns. But this is a vision. The horn speaks of power. Seven perfect, John in his vision is telling us that tonight in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ is all power, all authority. The one who died on Calvary, the one who, like a lamb, was led to the slaughter willingly, submissively, for us, died in the sinner's place. He rose again. He's standing. He's strong. I would say this, he's the searching lamb, for in verse 6, 7 eyes. Again, it doesn't mean, he didn't say a literal lamb. This is pictorial, it's descriptive. Oh, it's real. But it's describing spiritual realities in language we can understand. 7, the number of perfection. He knows everything. And he searches our hearts. He could open the book, the 7 seals. Some people say it's the book of providence, the book of all events, judgments that will happen. Christ could open it. Why? Because he knows everything. He searches everything. As Paul said, in Christ is all the power of God and the wisdom of God, the person. But in verse 6, you have the position of the Lamb. He's in the midst of the throne. That's a lovely expression. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. That's why worthy is the Lamb. John focuses not upon the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, the 4 living creatures, or the 24 elders representing, I believe, the redeemed. He focuses on the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. He's the center. That's what it means, the midst. He's the center of everything. That's why we put that text there on the way in. He's the center. He's the center of everything. He's the center of the Bible. He's the center of everything. He's the center of life. If you don't have Christ, you don't understand life. And as we come in week by week into the services and we go through the door in that text, I trust that text will speak to us that everything in this congregation, every service, Christ, the Lamb of God, has to be at the center. The center of our worship. The center of our work, the center of our prayers, everything we do, the center of our very life. Worthy is the Lamb. He's there. Do you see your sin? Do you come into the building and you realize I've sinned, I failed the Lord? Well, as you come in, may you realize worthy is the Lamb to forgive and redeem and to pardon. As believer, if you come into the services, usually in the Lord's Day, there's the services, you come in and you're feeling the heat of the battle. You're feeling the trials. You're feeling the difficulties. Oh, may you see worthy as the Lamb to sympathize with you and to encourage you and to give you grace. Oh, that you would see the Lamb in the center, central to the Bible, to salvation, to everything. But then they have what I'll call the prerogatives. The prerogatives. Worthy is the Lamb. Who is worthy to open the book? Loose the seals. Well, in verse 7, and he, the Lamb, came and took the book from the right hand. Why? In verse 9, they sung a song saying, "Thou art worthy." Why is he worthy? Look at verse 11. Here's why the Lamb of God is worthy to take that book. Because of creation. Verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator, that's why. The prerogative, what right, that's a word that means, what right has Christ to have all this authority because he's the creator? Why was this universe created? Dawkins doesn't know the answer, does he, Stephen? He hasn't a clue. He might be an intelligent man with his degrees, but he's a fool, educated fool. Dawkins has no idea why this world is created. That's why he comes off with all those weird, silly views. Do you know there's so-called intelligent scientists say the only answer to the Big Bang and creation is there must have been people from other planets came. Then you ask the question, where did they come from? We'll not go down the line of evolution tonight, but thank God with our Bible tonight, we know why this world was created. You have it there in verse 11. For him, Colossians, by him all things consist and have their being. But in verse 5, his prerogative is he has conquered, he hath prevailed. Christ has conquered Satan, death, and sin. But not only because of his creating power and because he's the conqueror, but thank God because of Calvary. Because of Calvary. Verse 9, thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us by thy blood, because of the cross. Think of the praise of the Lamb. The praise of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. The creation is singing. In verse 11 and 12, that's the picture here. All of creation. 24 elders, they're all bowing down. And they're worshipping. And they're praising. Look at it in verse 11. The angels and the beasts as the four living creatures, the elders and the number. And there they are all worshipping. In verse 13, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and so on. Just to shorten it all, I'll say this, is this, that even from the highest heaven to the deepest hell, the cry goes up, the Lamb is worthy. Oh yes, even those in heaven. Now, I'm not saying they're saved. Of course they're not. They're lost. But my Bible tells me in that day, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every creature ever created, be they devils, angels, or people, will say, Jesus Christ is worthy. What a day that'll be. What wonderful praise. What wonderful praise. Actually, it talks there with a loud voice. It's interesting. How they cry out in verse 12 with a loud voice. You know those words. Mega. Mega is the word loud. Voice is the word phone. That's if you're reading it in the Greek. Megaphone. Don't we use that in English? It's really Greek. It's the two words that are there. So this is translated. What a day. The megaphone will ring through the whole universe. Worthy is the Lamb. What a day that will be. And they worship him for his work on the cross. They worship him for Calvary. But look at the people who are there. Who will be there? Who will be there? Well, we're told over in Revelation 21, not that defileth can enter in. And we are defiled, every one of us, every human being, we're defiled by sin. How can we enter in? Well, Revelation 13 and 8, Revelation 17 and 8, those whose names are written in the book of life. We have here, though, in Revelation 6, 17, we're told who can stand in the day of the wrath of the Lamb. Yes, there's going to be a day of the wrath of the Lamb. Who can stand? And then in chapter 7 and verse 9, a great multitude which no man can number stood before the Lamb. Now, chapter 21 says not that defiles can enter into heaven. I'm defiled by sin. So's every human being. So are you. Even one sin, God must punish. How then can there be a great multitude which no man can number stand before him, who searches the heart? Because chapter 7, verse 19, or verse 9 goes on to say, who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're trusting in the work that Christ has done on Calvary. They're there not because of anything about themselves. They're not there because they were better than anybody else or more religious than anybody else or had performed better works than anybody else. No, the only reason this company is in heaven is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. His atoning work. That's the only reason anyone can be in heaven. His atoning work. And of course in verse 9 of chapter 5, if you have your Bible there, it's amazing what it says in this verse. Because it says at the end of the verse, thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Do you know there are four groups? And you'll find the number four throughout the book of Revelation. I know people get carried away with numbers, but this is a true feature. Number four is the number of the earth, the whole earth. The Holy Spirit is telling us even by the number. There'll be some out of all groups. We talked about that this morning, what the impetus for John Patton and that island of cannibals in the late 1800s. Lord, you have a people here. You have a people. And you're going to redeem them because there'll be some out of every tribe, tongue. This was driven many missionaries. The mission my wife and I served with, New Tribes Mission, what was the goal? What was the impetus? That their tribal groups had never yet, as far as we knew, heard the gospel. Now, we don't know, of course, how God divides up languages and tongues and so on. But the point is, as far as we know as humans, there's groups there in the jungle and groups here. Don't have a church here. Haven't seen people saved yet. Let's get out to them. Because the Bible says there will be some out of every tribe, tongue, people and nation. Now, will you be in that church? Will you be in it? And I notice in verse 9 it doesn't say everybody. It says some. Some out of. Do you believe he's worthy tonight? Do you believe he's worthy? Do you? You say, of course I do. Well, what's he worthy of? Your praise? Your trust? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you trusted that his work in Calvary will take away your sins? Have you trusted him with your love? With your life? Jesus Christ is worthy. He's worthy. Oh, thank God, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, we pray that no one connected with this church would ever experience what Revelation 5 talks about, the wrath of the Lamb. But thank God you can know forgiveness through the Lamb, salvation through the Lamb. Thank God for worthy is the Lamb. I finish with this, the great C.H. Spurgeon. He was due to preach to over 20,000 people in a great hall that they had booked way back in the 1850s or 60s. And Spurgeon thought the day before he would go in to this hall, the church had booked it for a great meeting. I know there was one meeting, history says, he preached to 24,000 people in one building without a mic. Without a mic. Amazing. But he thought he would try out the acoustics. He thought the hall was empty, he was allowed to go in. And he thought he would just see what it's like with, imagine 24,000 people. He stood on the platform and he just lifted his voice. By the way, a reporter said about him, he could shout and whisper and yet it didn't grate your ears. You can still hear him. It's amazing how God gifted Spurgeon. It's a pity he was never recorded before the days of recording. But he lifted his voice and he cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Do you know what he discovered afterwards? Unknown to him, there was a workman working on some of the seats up in one of the galleries. And Spurgeon, just quoting that text about the Lamb of God, that man was convicted and brought to conversion. Worthy is the Lamb. That sign coming in ought to remind us that that's the purpose of this church. That's why we're here. We're here to worship the Lamb. We're here to witness for the Lamb and point to the Lamb. May God help us to do that. 140.